Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Thursday, April 25th. I'm Hannah Floor. The Alaska House of Representatives is weighing in on a court decision that threatens key elements of the state's homeschool system. An Anchorage Superior Court judge ruled earlier this month a law authorizing cash payments to homeschool parents to spend on private or religious schooling violates the state constitution. The judge called on lawmakers to draft a legislative fix. The two-page Sense of the House, approved by a 20-18 vote yesterday, directs the legislature's lawyers to file a brief supporting a stay of the judge's ruling through the end of June 2025. Representative Craig Johnson, an Anchorage Republican who sponsored the measure, says that's an effort to give lawmakers some breathing room.
This is simply asking the court for that time. It says, please give us time to inform those 22,000 students, those 261 teachers, to come up with some resolutions so we don't pull the rug out from under those people.
The plaintiffs have also requested that the decision be put on hold, but only until the end of this June. Members of the House's predominantly Democratic and Independent Minority Caucus spoke out against a longer stay. Sika Independent Representative Rebecca Himshute cited a memo from the legislature's lawyers saying the State Board of Education is able to issue regulations that preserve the homeschool system while complying with the court decision.
I would submit to this body that we have recourse right now to stabilize the system. We do not need another year. A stay until the end of this fiscal year would help a whole lot, but we can take action right now. Not us, the legislature, but bodies within this state have the power to actually resolve this issue right now for the coming school year.
Minority members argue a longer stay would allow unconstitutional spending to continue unabated. Representative Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent who caucuses with the Republican-led majority, voted against the measure. Edgman says he doesn't want the legislature to delay a fix.
I don't want to see this go towards the end of next session. I want to deal with this issue in a prudent manner, in a prudent period of time. That's not what this Sense of the House represents.
Parties in the lawsuit are due to submit briefs on a stay by tomorrow. A ruling on whether the judge's decision should be put on hold is expected next week. Around 100 people, many wearing red, flooded the sidewalks of Petersburg's downtown yesterday. They were marching in support of increased state funding for education. Bipartisan education legislation that would have increased the state's per-student funding formula by $680 was vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy last month. A veto override failed by one vote. An operating budget with $175 million in one-time education funding has passed the House and seems to have support in the Senate. The one-time funding is equivalent to a $680 per-student increase. Dunleavy can line item veto some or all of that funding. Petersburg's protest event was part of a statewide day of action organized by the Alaska branch of the National Education Association, a union of more than 10,000 public education employees statewide. KFSK caught up with the downtown crowd and shares this audio postcard.
I'm here because I've seen the problems that not having enough funding causes, and I don't want that to be our future. We lose our really, like, our elective programs. We lose a lot of the things that make our school special. We lose more advanced classes, and all of these are really important to creating our school culture and giving back to our community. And we can't do that if we don't have enough funding.
I'm Sue Paulson, and I'm in support of keeping the basic student allowance at the state of Alaska higher than it is today. It's been flat for so long, we can't afford to pay the school.
What's wrong with our state? The borough is great.
You don't have any kids in the school system. You're not a teacher. Why does this matter to you?
Well, I would like to have our town be full of educated people, and I want for the kids. You know, the governor and the legislature let the kids down this year. They should be ashamed. And they should be immediately rushing to their computers and typing in that larger number and passing it out this year.
My name is Joe Willis, and my beautiful wife is an educator. All of our kids have went through the school system. We still have one that's got 4 years left, and there's been no change in funding since our child that has been out of school for a couple of years was just going into junior high.
I'm Cindy Lagadakis. I'm here because I support education and I support Petersburg schools. We're having hiring challenges. We have maintenance issues we need to deal with. We have more complexity in dealing with students. Life is more complex than it was when I was a student, and there are more things that need to be taught in a more complicated way, and we can't do that without funding.
I'm Elsa Winterstein, normally known as Mrs. Winterstein, and I teach high school English and drama. I think that, you know, the school, the district, the borough, we're all on the same page when it comes to funding for our kids, because, I mean, what makes our children better makes Petersburg better and gives us a stronger future here and in the state. So I think it's a no-brainer to be supporting raising of the base student allocation.
My name is Cora, and I'm in first grade.
And will you tell me what your sign says?
We will
remember
in
November.
We will remember in November.
What's wrong with our state? The borough is great. What's wrong with our state?
And that first voice we heard is from Eleanor Candel, a junior at Petersburg High School. And as a note of disclosure, both Eleanor Candel and Cindy Lagadakis are volunteer DJs here at KFSK. Petersburg Medical Center's septic pipes are failing, and its maintenance department is trying to stretch the aging system to its limits until the new hospital facility is built. That's according to a report that will go before the borough's hospital board at its meeting tonight. Wolf Brooks is the hospital's facility engineer. In his report to the board, he noted that many septic system issues have cropped up in recent months. However, it's nothing his department didn't anticipate dealing with in a building that has some infrastructure from over 50 years old. Most of the hospital's original septic pipes are reaching the end of their lifespan. Brooks says his plan is to fix problem areas as they arise, but they'll hold off on any major restorations until they can move into the new hospital facility, which is currently in the works. PMC CEO Phil Hofstetter reports that progress on the new facility site is steady and going well. Contractors have begun filling part of the site with rock from the city quarry, as well as blasting the bedrock beneath it. According to Les Hostetler, Dawson Construction's project superintendent, residents may hear 2 to 3 detonations per day until Thursday, May 2nd. That's if the contractors complete their work on time. R&M Engineering has seismic monitors on site, and Dawson collaborated on a safety plan with the borough's fire and police departments, as well as the nearby airport for the demolition period. They also have 10 staff members on site to prevent people from coming into the blast zone. Notifications were sent out to residents living close to the construction site. The hospital is still waiting on responses to a few requests from the state and federal government to fully fund the project. A $37 million line item in the state's capital budget is still pending, and 2 requests for federal funding worth $15 million each were submitted to U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Mary Peltola in late March. PMC also submitted an application for a $2 million grant from the Denali Commission this month. In other news, PMC's in-house youth program received a $20,000 grant for an outdoor kayak program this summer through the Alaska Community Foundation. And the hospital is planning to host dermatology and ear, nose, and throat clinics next month. Petersburg's hospital board will meet tonight at 5:30 p.m. in the assembly chambers. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live and will post the recordings on our website, kfsk.org. And stay tuned today after Midday Magazine. We will be hosting PMC Live. That is a call-in show with hospital staff. And you can be a part of the conversation by calling in at 907-772-3808. Petersburg High School's track and field team competed last weekend for the first time this season. The Ketchikan Invite is one of just three regional meets the Vikings will attend this year. Teams from Sitka, Haynes, Juneau, Craig, and Gustavus attended the meet. Petersburg's coach, Casey Gates, sat down with KFSK to talk about the season. He says the team is big this year, with nearly 30 athletes and a lot of talent and skill among them. And he says he was really pleased with how they performed in Ketchikan.
For a lot of these kids, it's their first year of doing track, so it was their first time ever seeing what it's really like to compete in a 200 or a 400, you know, because we're kind of limited with what we have. So I think it was really good in that regard, and I think it got everybody really excited and fired up because they got to see, oh, this is what it's really like. This is what it's really like to race. This is what it's really like to be a part of a relay team. And I think they have some extra motivation now and extra buy-in to what we're doing. So I think that was really good.
And they're not actually racing on a proper track here. So it was the first time they could.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our track's 250 meters. So things are funky when we're, and it's an egg shape, right? So it's all, you know, we do the best with what we can. But when they're actually out at a real track, it's just different. And they get to see that and they get to see how cool it is.
So when you're practicing for something like a relay or 400 mm-hmm. or whatever, do you have that marked off around the track so they know, you know, they go like 1 1/3 times around the track to hit that 400?
Yeah, we've got it all marked out, but for the most part we do like 125 meter sections, or we just do the full lap, like just for simplicity.
Yeah.
It's simpler to do that. It's simpler to get the kids lined up like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did the kids learn?
I mean, I think they learned, like I said, how fun and exciting it is. And I think they also learned what it takes to do some of those more grueling events, whether it's the 400 or the 800, because those are close to sprints, right? But over a long distance events. Yeah. And now that we've had our first meet, the kids know what they want to compete in, because some of the kids will do different events. For example, Sarah Essex, she did shot put and discus. But she did the 200 and a 4x1, and she's like, well, I actually like sprinting a lot more than throwing. So it'll be a more realistic look at what our team's going to do and be, I think, because they know from this last meet what they like and what they don't like, what they're going to focus on. And,
So you have three meets this year.
Yeah, three total.
You've got a couple weeks before the next meet. What are you focusing on in practice?
Well, yeah, so these next 2 weeks are going to be like our peak training weeks, because after these 2 weeks, we've got Juno, and then the following week is regionals, and the following week is state. So James Valentine and I are kind of looking at these 2 weeks as our best opportunity to really push and train the kids to help them improve and get ready for the end of the season when it really matters.
How do you motivate them?
Well, I think it was motivating for them to just to go out and compete. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, honestly, motivation has got to be internal for the most part. You've got to have your own reason for wanting to be out there and doing this, because it's a hard sport.
Tell me one thing that's really making you love coaching right now.
I really enjoy coaching in general. It's nice to do something other than just being in a classroom, and I'm not saying that I don't like it, but it's different. It's a different outlet. It's a different thing for me to do, and it's different for the kids too. So it's really enjoyable to be with them in that setting.
Mm-hmm. You get to know them in a different capacity.
That's exactly it, and it's really nice to have that.
That was Petersburg High School track coach Casey Gates talking with KFSK. Three Petersburg athletes finished in the top three in Ketchikan. Sophomore Noah Powick placed third in the 300-meter hurdles, a personal record. Elijah Whitaker also had a personal record, placing second in shot put. And Eric Tinas took second place in discus. The next track meet will be in Juneau on May 11th, with regionals the following weekend. Trident Seafood's Ketchikan processing plant officially changed hands yesterday. It was announced last month that Sitka-based Silver Bay Seafoods would be acquiring the plant the seafood processing giant Trident put up for sale late last year. The two companies announced the finalized acquisition in a joint statement. Trident spokesperson Alexis Telfar said the move promises exciting opportunities and growth for the Ketchikan community. Trident's Ketchikan plant was the company's largest operation in Southeast and was entirely dedicated to processing salmon. Silver Bay Seafoods is one of the largest processors of whitefish, salmon, herring, and squid in Alaska, with facilities in nearby Craig and Sitka. CEO Cora Campbell said the Ketchikan plant will help them expand their reach and capacity in Southeast ahead of this year's salmon season. She added that they are, quote, well-situated to support the seine and drift fishermen who operate in the Southeast salmon fisheries, unquote. In an email to KRBD, Silver Bay spokesperson Abby Frederick said the company plans to run the plant similarly to Trident's operation. She said, quote, the vast majority of the management staff at the plant have been retained, and we are offering opportunities to other key staff and processing workers who wish to return to Ketchikan for the 2024 season, unquote. Trident spokespeople declined to comment further. For KFSK, I'm Hannah Floor.